Well, appreciate the Lord this morning. Appreciate being in service. And we covet your prayers today. I wrote on the board, the victory. Now that might sound pretty mundane and pretty small, but it's really pretty great. And I want to look at a few scriptures this morning and examine some things about the victory and what it means for us. In John 19 and 30, it says, "When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, 'It is finished. It is finished.' And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost." You know, when Jesus said, "It is finished," the plan of salvation was set in motion. The price that was paid for you and I to have peace with God had been paid. The price was paid that we could have full forgiveness, complete forgiveness. Jesus had endured the worst that Satan could give him. He gave him everything he had. He came against Jesus. He not only bore the cross, but he bore the pains before the cross, the shame, thorns on his head, the beating on his back. Jesus bore all of that, and he said, "It is finished." And you know, that opened an avenue for us directly to God. That opened for us the avenue that he said, "If I go away, I'll send..." Anyway, he told us he would send the Holy Spirit back, didn't he? That makes all the difference in the world in our lives. It gives us the ability to have the victory because we have one within us that is fighting with, along with us, that is there to influence our thoughts, to give us power, to give us grace. We have that because Jesus went all the way until he said, "It's finished." It's finished. And he bowed his head and he gave up his life for us. Jesus did that. And I want to tell you what that means to you and me. Let's look in 1 Corinthians 15 and 57. And we find in writing what that means to us. Paul wrote here and he said, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." You know what that victory was, and here it's talking about the sting of death, the sin. You know, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, this morning, I want to tell you something. God came to bring us victory. And Paul said here, "Thanks be to God that giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Do you know that we don't have to be walloped around and led around by the nose anymore? We don't have to be addicted to Satan's lies, to his sins. We don't have to be addicted to the things of the world anymore. We don't have to constantly sin and fail anymore. Because he came to bring us the victory. And when he died on the cross and said, "It is finished," folks, God came to bring us something wonderful at that time. Do you know that he gave us the victory over sin, over all the things that come with sin, that he came to bring us the victory over death, the grave, over hell over Satan himself? Do you know he came to make us able to know what Satan's up to when he comes to us? He doesn't want us to be ignorant anymore. You know, he came to give us the victory that we could spend eternal life with God. That's what Jesus did when he said it's finished. Folks, he finished up a project. He finished up something that would mean something to mankind the rest of their days. The rest of the years of the world. And here we are 2,000 years later. And Jesus gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I want us to think for a minute what victory means. When you look it up in Strong's Concordance, the Greek, it means a conquest. It means a triumph. I like the way that Thayer says it, to utterly vanquish. He's talking about something here more than just forgiveness. Folks, Jesus is talking about victory. And you may wonder, well, we know this. Why are you saying this? Why is this? Because, folks, I want to tell you something. People struggle. And I'm not just talking about us here. People struggle. All around, people struggle. I looked up victory in Webster's, and it says, this is 1828 edition. I love that edition because it still includes the Bible in it. It says, conquest, the defeat of an enemy in battle, or of an antagonist in contest, a gaining of the superiority in war or combat. Victory supposes the power of an enemy or an antagonist to prove inferior to that of the victor. And it goes on to say in number two, that's part of number one. Number two says the advantage or superiority gained over spiritual enemies, over passions and appetites, or over temptations, or in any struggle or competition. I just want to encourage us today, if we've been defeated in our life, I want to tell you something. That Jesus Christ came and he finished his project to give you and me victory in our lives. I want to tell you something. There's lots of times you talk to people and they mount up and they fall. And they mount up and they fall. I want to tell you something. When we do that, we're doing it in our own strength. That's why we're failing. I want to tell you, through Jesus Christ, we have power and victory to go from where we are at until the end. And I want to encourage us today that the Lord has victory in our lives. Men, I want to encourage you. Jesus has constant victory for our lives. I'm not talking about constant high feelings. I'm talking about victory over sin, the enemy, the things that the world falls to all the time, the baits that Satan has out there. I want to encourage you that the Lord has victory. We was talking to some not long ago, and I want to tell you, nobody here, but I want to tell you something. God has victory for us. And he has a path to that victory. And the Lord wants us to have that victory. The Lord wants us to be able to come to him and tap into that source until he embodies in our life the victory. Until we no longer have to fail every time Satan bids his wares to us. I want to tell you, the Lord wants to give us a victory. And I want to encourage us today to believe it. To believe that God came to give me a life of victory until I die. And I want to encourage us to take advantage of the weapons that God has given. You know, the Lord has told us that where two or more are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Do you know that he has told us that if two agree on anything that it shall be done. He's told us that if we ask anything according to His will, it'll be done for us. I want to tell you this morning, it is God's will for you and me to have constant victory. It is His will. It is not His will, and we should not accept that every month or every 2 months we step off into something the devil got us again. Did you know that this morning? Let's believe the truth. The truth will set us free. Let's believe that we can come to the Lord and we can get a hold of the grace of God and walk with Him. And as John 15 says, we can abide or dwell there, live there in that place. Not just come and visit once in a while, but that we can live there. That's what the Lord wants us to have this morning. It's beautiful to live there. And so this morning, I just want to encourage us folks. God has come and paid all that price. And through Jesus Christ, we can have the victory. I thank God. He said, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We do not have to be defeated and fail every month or every week or whatever. God has victory for us. And I want to encourage us, if we cannot get there on our own, get there with the help of someone else, where two agree on anything, it will be done for them. Folks, if the devil wants to bring us under his thumb of all that he has to offer, which is all kinds of disgrace and pain and depression and all these things. I know depression has some physical aspects too, but I want to tell you something, the devil works with all that too. And the Lord wants to give us victory. He wants to come in. I believe He wants us to take a little stronger stand for the healing of our bodies. God paid a price for this. Jesus Christ came to bring those things. And so I've been seeking the Lord myself. Lord, I want Your victory in such a way that, Lord, that we can fight battles and win them with people. And I'm not talking about that I fall off into sin, because I don't, thank the Lord. And I'm not boasting in that. But I'm just telling you, folks, I'm talking about the power that God has for you and me in our lives. We should not have to feel like that we are under the umbrella and the shadow and the work of the enemy. The Lord wants us to have victory in our life. Victory brings something besides downcast eyes. Victory brings something besides shame, doesn't it? It brings there's a euphoria. Can I say that? There's a blessing. There's a lifting up. Oh, the Lord gave victory. Oh, the Lord helped this one in this battle. Do you know we are fighting for one another, aren't we? We're not just in a battle ourselves. We're in the world. And all around us is all kinds of things. All kinds of the enemy's things. And in the middle of it, the Lord wants to bring us victory. Let's believe it. Let's latch on to it. Let's determine. Because I believe in this kind of thing. Let's determine. I know people that's done this and I've seen it work. I know one right here that I watched, I saw, I worked with. And I want to tell you, the battle was hard. It was laborious. Sometimes it was discouraging. But I saw the resolve. God is going to help me. God is going to help me. And I want to tell you something. God changed the whole picture. And it's been years since that happened. I want to tell you, I've seen that happen more than once. I watched my mother go through a life of not having any victory to speak of. And toward the end, she began to realize, hey, I can be saved. I can be saved. And I want to tell you something. She began to come to church again. And she began to look to the Lord and have faith. And by, as she sought the Lord healed her of her sins. The Lord healed her of her depression that she had all her life. He did. I'm just telling you what he did for her. I've never seen more of a change in anybody. She changed from a depressed person that I knew all my life to someone that was a sunbeam the rest of her life. I want to tell you, God can do marvelous things. And should we stop and should we accept the enemy walloping us every day? I want to tell you something. I believe God is light and in him is no darkness at all. There's none. We just need to get God on the scene. And I want to tell you, when he's on the scene, there's no darkness at all. We have to reach out for him. Plead with him. Look to him. Humble ourselves. Seek the Lord until he rains righteousness upon us. Seek the Lord until he heals our needs. God wants to do that this morning. That's what was prophesied of Jesus. And shall we not have it all? Folks, it's not selfish to want it all. Is it? Is it selfish to want the good things that God has paid for you and me? I don't think so. In Isaiah 42 and 1, look at this. It says, "Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect." He's talking about Jesus here. Isaiah was writing prophecy of Jesus Christ coming. And he said, "Behold, take a look at my servant here, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles." And he's not talking about sitting as a judge condemning. He's coming to save. He's coming to bring judgment upon the devil. He's coming to bring those things that deliver us and give us the help that we need. And so he says, "He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles." That's to us. That's not to the Jews. That's to us. And to the Jews, of course. "He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street." Do you know that Jesus never made... He didn't have a horn. He didn't... I don't know if he ever did. But he didn't make a big deal, did he? He just had such power with his words. And the Lord worked in people's lives. And he healed people's lives and hearts. He did that, didn't he? All the time he was here, he did that again and again. And he still wants to do it for you and me. And why should we not have it? "Nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break." You know, that's talking about something really flimsy. Something that's almost to break. It's bruised. It could just be bowed over so easy. The reed could just break so easy. But he said, he's not going to do that. Jesus is not going to do that. You feel like a bruised reed this morning? Jesus didn't come to break you. You feel like a smoking flax? There's no fire there, just smoke. He didn't come to snuff it out, did he? He said, "A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth." And if I remember right, when you look in the New Testament, it quotes that as saying, unto victory. He brings forth judgment unto victory. That's what the Lord does in our lives today. I believe in it. I've seen it work over and over. I know this works, folks. And we just have to get a hold of the Lord. Seek him until he rains upon us, whatever our need is today. "He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law." Way off in the, out in the islands, the ocean, or wherever, as far as it goes, it says, "The isles shall wait for his law." "Thus saith the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and he which and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it and spirit to them that walk therein, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness and will hold thine hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Oh, this morning, I just want to remind us that this Jesus that Isaiah wrote about is the one we know today. He's the one that said, I didn't come to condemn the world. I came that the world through me might be saved. He came that the world might be saved. That we might be saved. That we might have the victory and meet the Lord in peace. Is that pretty good this morning? I'd say it's pretty good. I like it a lot. Let's don't stop until He has rained upon us our desires and our needs in our life. Because He said that if two ask in His name, that it would be done. Now that's the Lord's will. We know that, don't we? For it to be done. Let's ask Him. And I want to encourage us to lay down our pride and take up on us humility and be willing to pray with someone else and be willing to confess our needs to others. Folks, it's no good to hide our lives in a closet. Let's confess and work to see God heal. Until there's nothing in the closet anymore. You know God wants to do that for us this morning. It's a blessing that He has given to you and me. I could sit down right now and feel like I'd give you my message. I've had to work with a lot of people. And I want to tell you, I know people struggle. And I want to tell you something else. I have seen those that decided they're going to have it. They're going to have what God wanted them to have. And the Lord said, seek, and you'll find. Knock, and it'll be opened unto you. But you got to seek His way and knock His way. And then He'll open the door for us. And the Lord will do that. I want to encourage us today to not have any dark rooms. The Lord wants there to be light. Wherever God is, it's light. There isn't any darkness at all in God. Through Jesus, He's given us the victory. We've got a song, number 270. Brother Warner wrote it. And it starts like this. Well, I'll read the refrain first. Fear not, brethren, firm and true, whate'er thy foe may be. Jesus fought the battle through and gives to us the victory. Now, there might be 100 reasons we shouldn't have the victory. Maybe it's the home we were raised in. Maybe it's the circumstances we've had in life. Maybe it's just who I am. Why was I made this way? I want to tell you, if we will believe, we will have the victory. If we will believe, if we will search for Him, we will have that rain upon our lives today. And so this brother wrote this, fear not, brethren, firm and true. Whatever thy foe may be, Jesus fought the battle through. He said it's finished and gives to us the victory. Oh, I tell you, this means a lot to us, doesn't it? It means we don't have to struggle and fail and miss heaven. It means we don't have to give our life up to all the ailments that Satan wants to put upon our life through life. It means that we can have victory. The Lord wants to give us peace in our hearts and in our life and with other people. That's God that does those things. He's the one that loads us with benefits. He's the one that said, the fruits that I'm going to give you, I'm going to give you my spirit. And the fruits are going to be, what is it? Love and peace and joy and long-suffering and All of those things, gentleness, that's God that gives those things. Now, verse 1 says, hear the voice of our commander standing firm. Holy pilgrims, take the armor, standing firm. Shod in gospel preparation, sword and helmet of salvation, meekly hold the true position, standing firm. Verse 2 says, if it be thy lot to suffer, standing firm. Vilest slander tongue can utter, standing firm. Shout and sing, for then is given greater thy reward in heaven when the wicked far driven, standing firm. Verse 3, in the time of sore temptation, what's it say? Standing firm. Did you know that's possible? It's possible because of the grace of Jesus Christ. In the time of sore temptation, standing firm. Grace will be thy sure salvation, standing firm. Virtue crown thy soul with honor. Sin resisted tempts no longer. Faith in conflict waxes stronger. Is that really possible? Of course it is, because we draw close to the Lord. And where the Lord is, there is light, there's faith, there's power, there's grace. There's all the fruits of the Spirit. Those things, we draw close to the Lord in those deep times, don't we? And so why does the writer say this? Faith in conflict waxes stronger, standing firm. Mid the battle's raging fury, standing firm. Face the legions dark before thee, standing firm. In the strength of our Redeemer, make the powers of hell surrender. Be a valiant overcomer, standing firm. And so, I'm not done, but that's my message, folks, this morning. The Lord has what we need. I love this today. I love the fact that Jesus Christ came to bring this for me and you. He came to give it to us. And folks, when people are struggling, I just want to tell you, there's victory for us today. Listen to this here. I just want to bring in a few other aspects. In Joshua, the 9th chapter and the 10th verse. Now, Joshua was a real man of God. He was a man that God blessed, and he won a lot of victories. Joshua 9 and 3. Did I say that? And it says, and when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho and to Ai, they did work wilily, and went and made as if they had been ambassadors, and took old sacks upon their asses, upon their donkeys, and wine bottles old and rent and bound up, and old shoes and clouted upon their feet, and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. And they went to Joshua unto the camp at Gilgal, and said unto him and to the men of Israel, we be come from a far country. Now therefore make ye a league with us. Let's make a deal. Let's get in step together. And he says, now let's make a league. And the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, peradventure ye dwell among us. And how shall we make a league with you? And they said unto Joshua, we are thy servants. And Joshua said unto them, who are ye? And from whence come ye? And they said unto him, from a very far country thy servants are come, because of the name of the Lord thy God. For we have heard the fame of him, and of all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond Jordan, to Sihon king of Heshbon, and to Og king of Bashan, which was at Ashtaroth. Wherefore our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spake to us, saying, take victuals with you for the journey, and go to meet them, and say unto them, we are your servants, therefore now make ye a league with us. And they went on, and we know the rest of the story. It says in verse 15, And Joshua made peace with them and made a league with them to let them live. And the princes of the congregation swear unto them. What did God tell Joshua when they went into this land? You utterly destroy. My judgment is upon these people for their wickedness. I don't know that he said that at that time, but that's what he says in the scripture. My judgment is upon these people for their wickedness, and I want you to destroy them all. I want you cleaning out. And this is going to be your land, and I'm going to give it to my people. And God did that. But Joshua, not even asking the Lord, made a deal with them. All right, I'll let you stay. You know, that's a really good little thing for us to remember. The devil will come along and he'll want to make a deal with you and me. You know, well, you just, you know, let's just give this far. But you be good, but not really God's way. And God said, don't make any league, don't make any deals with the people, destroy them. It seems to me like, and I'm not going to say too much about it because I'm human too. Seems to me like Joshua would have went to the Lord and said, Lord, now this is what you told us and this is what we're up against. These people say they're from a long ways off. Shall we make this league with them? And what do you think God would have said? Don't do that. Because they went, if you look further down in this story, they went 3 days' journey and there were these people. And they had just swore to them by the Lord. They swore that they would let them live. And now they had to let them live. Because they made a league with them. And I want to encourage us today to don't let things into your home. Don't let things into your life that God has said don't. It'll cause you troubles. You say, well, it's not sin. Don't make a league with the devil. If it doesn't glorify God, what does God want us to do with it? Tell me. Destroy it? Is that all right? If it's something that he has said plainly in his word, then let's clean house. I'm not talking about being crazy or overboard. But sometimes it is extreme. Jesus was extreme. He didn't even have a place to live. He didn't have a pillow to lay his head on. He was extreme. I want to encourage us to be extreme when it comes to our faith. We want to have faith in God. Folks, we're not going to have much faith when we're hindered by all these things in our life. The Lord wants us to get rid of some things. If those things are going to trip us and fall, then get rid of them. Get rid of them. Do you know that these people, the people that they let live in the land caused them a lot of troubles, didn't they? Because God said, clean house. Now, if we don't clean house, do we not think that maybe someday it'll overcome us? Just might. So this morning, I want to encourage us today to make no league with the enemy. Let's do. In Hebrews 12 and 1, listen to what the writer to Hebrews says here. Wherefore, seeing also we are compassed about, this is Hebrews 12 and 1, with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, folks, we have a lot of witnesses around, don't we? The 11th chapter of Hebrews is full of people that went with God's way all the way, isn't it? And so he says, we're also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. That first verse says something that maybe we don't want to hear. It says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. I want to tell you, Brother Stanley always said everyone has a besetting sin. Something that if they are not careful, it'll overwhelm them again. Do you know God wants us to prepare ourselves against that day? Because I don't believe the Lord wants sin to overwhelm us. That's not what this is teaching. But what it is teaching is that it is easy for it to happen. And folks, the Lord wants us to prepare ourselves, to be strong, to allow God that place in our life that can heal us of our failings. He said one place, I'm married to the backslider. Do you know that the Lord wants to heal those backslidings, doesn't he? He does. He loves you. He loves me. He loves us as we are. But I want to tell you something else. He wants to give us the victory through Jesus Christ. You know, Romans 11 and 20 says, Because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. And I say this, let's remember who we are. We're people in need of God. And without God's grace, we fail. Period. Without God's grace, we fail. So we have to get a hold of God's grace. And he says here, be not high-minded, but fear. One of the commentaries said, watch over yourselves with godly jealousy. And so this morning, the enemy's going to attack you and me. And the Lord wants us to live. He wants us to be aware and on guard and full of the grace of God. And can we be that way, or is that just a hope? It's something God came to bring us, the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I just was thinking last night and looked up. One time we were in Oahu, Hawaii. That's where Pearl Harbor is. And you know, and we met a man there that was there when Pearl Harbor happened. And you know, things happen when you're not on your guard and you're not on your watch. Now those people felt Pearl Harbor, they felt pretty secure, I think. They knew they could be attacked, but they were a long ways from anywhere. They had 8 battleships in there, in the bay. And these were mighty ships. Plus they had a lot of other ships and boats around. They had hundreds of planes. But I want to tell you what happened on December 7, 1941. The person, as I remember this part, I didn't look this part up, but as I remember the one watching the radar saw what was happening. They saw what was coming in, but they somehow disbelieved it or didn't think that's what it was. And these planes, 353 Japanese planes flew in there, bombing everything they could bomb. Sending torpedoes into those ships. They sunk 4 of them. They damaged all 8 of them. They killed over 2,400 men. They took out lots of airplanes. And there was no warning whatsoever, other than the person that was watching the radar that should have seen and been alerted, this isn't right. What's going on here? I don't understand it, but it's not right. But you know, maybe they felt a little secure. And I just want to encourage us this morning. Folks, that started a great war. And from there, I mean, there was already a great war going on. But that drew the United States into it. And you know, we too, the devil will attack us when we're not expecting it. Unexpectedly. In a time. And so the Lord chastens us all the time. Tells us all the time, be ready. Be on your guard. Live close to the Lord. The Lord has victory for us all the time. Did you know the devil can't come dive bombing in and take us out as long as we are living close to the Lord? I want to encourage us to look to God. Lift up our eyes to Him. I want to tell you, when you see the damage that can happen in that kind of way, the devil had a lot of scheme in mind there. Within 7 hours, they not only attacked and destroyed so much at Pearl Harbor, which was their intent, to break the ability of the U.S. to intervene in the conflict. They also attacked the same day, within 7 hours, the Philippines, Guam. I didn't realize that part. Wake Island, the British Empire, Malaya, Singapore, Hong Kong, all of that the same day happened. The devil is ruthless. He'll come and offer you and try to take you out in a moment. But I want to tell you, I believe had those people, had the person at Pearl Harbor, they say, had he saw what was coming, but he disbelieved it some way. I can't remember the whole story there. But some way he disbelieved it or something. Folks, I want to tell you, the devil will attack you. And he'll attack me at any given time. We must be strong. We must stay strong. The Lord wants us to have victory every day. Why should we be taken out? You know what they did? They got a number of those ships back into the war during the war. And they fought again. But I want to tell you something. The Lord wants us to remain strong. And He wants to give us victory. And I want to encourage us to not stop until we have victory in our life. And again, I'm not talking about feelings. If we're going to heaven, we're going to have to fight. The end of that story is that they fought for, what, 4 more years or so with the Japanese. And they finally came down, and the Japanese, they were closing in, and they had lost all these men and all this stuff. And they were closing in on Japan itself. And then they wanted to make a deal with them. And they wanted to, well, let's negotiate a surrender. And at that point, the United States said, it is unconditional. There will be no negotiation. It is an unconditional surrender. I want to encourage us today to hold the devil to an unconditional surrender. We are not going to take that we are going to fall every month or every 2 months or something. Folks, the Lord wants us to have victory today. It's unconditional. I will not stop until I have the grace of God that I can go to heaven with. The Lord bless each one of us. Jesus fought the battle through, and He gives to you and me the victory. He gives us the victory. He's given you the victory. Do we believe that?
Yes.
We believe that? Yes, we believe it. I hope we all believe it, because He's given it to us. You pray for me too.